Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where we're going to begin on Daf Chof Tes Omid Beis. We've caught up already a half of the Daf to help us out for Pesach and Yitz Hashem, which is coming up faster than we think. And we'll do Yitz Hashem Daf Lamed. We're learning today Lili Nishmas Gosta Shifer. All the Shams we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of Tzahal. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim. They should be safe. All those in need of a Refuah Shleima should have them, B'mheira, and B'ezus Hashem. There should be Shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. I'm dictating this on Tanis Esther. It should be just as we prepared in the days of Haman and Mordechai, that we prepared to go battle with Amalek. We were successful. We davened. Mitz Hashem, our learning today should be successful for all of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we begin at the Mishnah, towards the top of Chof Tes Omid Beis. The Mishnah continues dealing with lost items. Matzah Svarim, if a person found Svarim. Now, you have to understand, their Svarim were not like the published printed books that we have today. Their Svarim were scrolls. They basically were handwritten, and they were very expensive, and they weren't commonly available. So if you found Svarim, in order to take care of them properly, you're allowed to read from them once every 30 days. As Rashi says, they would spoil, they would decay, they would rot, if you did not, if you delayed, in opening them up. The whole Svarim Shalem, and all of their Svarim were scrolls, so they had to be unrolled, similar to our Megillas Esther. So we have to unroll it in order that it shouldn't go and get destroyed from mildew and decay. And therefore, you're allowed to read from them once every 30 days. Then enter your daily cross, and if you don't know how to read from them, so what should you do? So then just air it out. So then, golan, roll it up from the beginning to the end to air it out. Now, then enter your daily cross, you golan. However, avolo yilmod behem betchila, but don't take it out to learn with it for the first time. In other words, if you're going to do eon on it, if you're going to have to go and learn it in great detail, as Rashi says, Mashalo lomad mipnei shetzorich lahashoso lufanov. If you're going to read it on things that you don't know, and you're not just chazring, if you're chazring something, you can go through it very quickly, right? If you learn the daf today, and then you want to chaz it over, the second time to learn it will take a lot less time than the first time that you learned it. So therefore, if you're going to learn it for the first time, you're going to spend it keeping it open too much, and you're going to end up possibly damaging it rather than helping it. And therefore, don't read it in items that you haven't learned beforehand, that you can't do. And likewise, don't have somebody else read with you, because you're going to pull it one way, he's going to pull it the other way, and you can chas v'shalom rip it or damage it. Now, matzah ksus, if you found a garment, so then minara echad l'shol shem yom, you also have to air it out, shake it out, as Rashi says, because we are concerned in this situation about the moths. Lishlot bo'avi, you have to let some air get into it, air it out. Shol techala, so it shouldn't become destroyed. V'lo sochlena ash, so the moths don't go and eat it. So that's what you do if you find the garment. V'shol techol tzarcha, sometimes you have to spread it out, so to air it out. And you do this only for the benefit of the garment. However, avolo lichvodo. So let's say it's a fur coat and you want to hang it out. So you're doing it for the fur coat. But if you want to show off to other people, look, I have a fur coat. You want people to think you're very successful. So then you're not allowed to do that. You can't do it for your honor. You can only do it to continue the upkeep of this garment. If you find klei chesef uklei nechoshes, if you find utensils, items that are made of silver or that are made of copper, so mishtamesh behem litzarchon. You have to go and air them out as well, because the proper way to take care of them, Rashi says, is shemitz avshim bekarka. If you hide them in the ground, which is what you would do with these utensils to keep them safe, so they'll get destroyed in the ground. They will come moldy and mildewed in the ground. Shetzarech lisitein bekarka. You have to go and normally place it in the karka. As Gemara tells us elsewhere, that's their shmirastan, that when you go and have these utensils to safeguard them, you place them in the ground. You bury them, so to say. Therefore, you have to take them out every now and then in order that they don't get destroyed by being in the ground. So therefore, for their benefit, for their benefit, but you can't use it for your own usage. And when you go and take it out, you only take it out enough to air it out, so to say, but not to go and destroy it by using it too much. As Rashi says, you're allowed to be mishtamish to them a little bit, liprokim, but don't use them too much, because then you'll ruin them. So it's a fine line. You have to make sure that you don't leave them in the ground for too long, so they don't get destroyed by being in the ground. They'll get rusty, they'll get mildewed, they'll get destroyed, but you can't take them out and use them too much, so you don't wear them out. If you find clay zahav, uklay zechuches, if you find, however, golden utensils or glass utensils, so then lo yigabhen, then don't touch them at all, until Eliyahu comes and you return them to the rightful owner. Because these types of utensils, Rashi says, Zohav eno misafesh, the Zohav doesn't get moldy or mildewed, it doesn't rust, when you place it in the ground, ba'aretz, uschuches shema yishaveh, the glass, you're concerned that you take it in and out from the ground, it's going to break. It's glass. It's very fragile. So therefore, that's why for the gold and for the glass utensils, you just leave them in the ground. That's the best thing. And when Eliyahu comes, he'll tell us who they belong to. Maybe should come real fast so he can help us return these lost items. If you find the matzah, sak o kupa, these are items that are not very valuable, and they are things, this sack is like a burlap sack, o kupa, you find some sort of a not fancy box, or the whole davish ain't dark o lito, or something that you normally wouldn't go pick up. As Gemara will explain, you wouldn't pick it up for yourself, so you have no obligation to go pick it up for this other person. If it's below your dignity to go pick it up for yourself, you certainly have no obligation to go pick it up for someone else, and therefore, hare ze lo yito, you're not over visalamta, you're not over ignoring your fellow's lost item, you're allowed to go and bypass it in this situation. As Rashi says, this is a dover shiknaihu lo. This is something that is disparaging to him. Sha'adim choshefu, he's an important person. Then darko lito kupa shalo. He wouldn't take his own kupa if he found it on the street. He would say, it's below my dignity to go pick this thing up. Lachnisa minachutz labayis lebeis shomer. He wouldn't go take it in from the street and bring it into his own house for safekeeping. So therefore, he has no obligation to do it for something else. Upotu miyashova saveda. And we'll dash this out in the Gemara from the pasuk says visalamta, which can be dashed that not only should you not ignore your fellow's lost things, but under certain situations you are allowed to ignore your fellow's lost items. Gemara starts off and tells Zomer Shmuel Hamotzi Tfilin Bashuk. If you find tefillin in the street, Sham Demehem, you go and evaluate them. Out there, and then you put them aside. You sell them. The simple understanding is you sell them. We had previously said before that you sell them to somebody else. We're concerned that you will not give the right price if you keep it for yourself and put in the money. But here, some of the farshim say that no, you're allowed to go and buy it for yourself. You have it properly evaluated. And since tefillin are something that are needed every day to do a mitzvah, you can even buy it for yourself. Others say no, you put the money aside. You sell it to someone else. You sell it to a person in need of tefillin. You evaluate it properly, and then you put the money aside and you wait till the person who lost the tefillin come and claims his lost tefillin. Now, here we said that you are shom demeim, you evaluate it, and then you can go and sell it right away. Moshe Ravina questions this statement from Shmuel. He says, in our Mishnah, we learned the matzah svarim. If you find svarim, so then kori ben echad l'shloshim yom. It says you have to go take care of it, read it once every 30 days so it shouldn't get destroyed, it shouldn't get mildewy. And then you did likros l'golan. If you don't know how to read it, you just air it out, unroll it, and then roll it back up. So it tells us there that golan in, that you have to go and roll it. It doesn't say shom demein umein yichet. So it doesn't say that low. Therefore, why is there a difference between svarim and tefillin? That's the Ravina's question on Shmuel. Shmuel says, tefillin, you treat differently. You can sell them right away. And the money is put aside. Why don't we say the same thing for these svarim? Sell them right away and put the money aside. Here it says that you have to go and take care of it. And every 30 days you have to read it or enroll it. So Amar Abayi explains, no, there's a difference. Tefillin is something that is very commonly sold. Svarim, as I mentioned, in those days, you couldn't walk into a bookstore and pick yourself up an art scroll Gemara. Everything was handwritten. And tefillin was something that every single male above the age of 13 needed. So therefore, tefillin were much more plentiful. But if you wanted to go pick up a Gemara on Bava Metzia, so you'd have to go find a handwritten one. They didn't have, unfortunately, as many people buying those as you would need in order to keep them in ready supply. So therefore, Amar Abayi says, tefillin bei Barchavu Mishkach Shlichi. Barchavu was the name of a famous tefillin maker, right? So in his store, you can always get tefillin. So therefore, even if the person who lost the tefillin eventually comes and is going to get his money back, so he'll go to the house of Bar Chavu, and he'll go buy himself a new pair of tefillin. Mishkach Shlichi. They're very plentiful, they're very commonly available, and therefore no harm is done by selling it right away. However, Svarim, Lo Shlichi, Svarim are not so easily obtained, so therefore they're not common. So you sell his Bava Metzia to somebody, now this guy can't find the Bava Metzia so quickly, therefore for the Svarim, go and take care of them. The Tefillin, you can go and sell it. That's how we understand the difference between Tefillin and Svarim. Gemara brings down the following brayse: the Tanu Rabbanon Hashoel Sefer Torah Mechaveiro Harei Zelo Yashilu Liachir. If you borrow a Sefer Torah from somebody else, you're not allowed to go and lend it out to other people. You can keep it for yourself. You borrowed it for yourself, but you can't go lend it out to other people. And poschal v'karibo, and you're allowed to go and open it up and read it. We'll ask in a moment. You know, pshita, obviously, you borrowed it for the purposes of reading it, not just to have a sefer Torah in your house as a decoration. So why is it telling us poschal v'karibo? So the Gemara will explain in a moment. It's because of the next statement, ubavashlo yilmod bo batchila. Even though you borrowed it, you shouldn't go and learn from it things that you've never learned before, because that's going to be much more eon, and you get more engrossed in it, and you may come to damage the sefer, pull it and keep it open too much, and it's going to damage it. Likewise, v'lo yikare acher imo. You're not allowed to have somebody else read with you. Again, we're concerned that if two people read from it, that each of them is going to pull it towards them, and you'll end up ripping it. Similarly, v'chein hamafkid sefer Torah etzol chaveiro. If you give your sefer Torah to your friend to watch, so he has to go take care of it. Go lo kol shnei mosachot. He has to roll it up at least once every 12 months. So we're dealing over here with a person who has gone away, and he's given a sefer Torah to somebody else. Otherwise, he would roll it himself. So his sefer Torah is in his friend's house. So the Tanakhama over here in this Raisa says that you roll it every 12 months. When you open it up, you're also allowed to poschal v'karibo and read from it if you're able to do so. Now, that's when you're doing it for the benefit of the Sefer Torah, to keep it from getting moldy. Im bishvilo pesacho, then osur. If, however, you're opening it up, just stop to go and learn from it, so you're not allowed to do that because he didn't give it to you for that. He gave it to you as a pikadon. You're supposed to watch it. He didn't say you can use it. And therefore, of course, if he said you can use it, then no problem. But if he just gave it to you for safekeeping, so then you're not allowed to go open it up other than for the benefit of the Sefer Torah, but you can't use it for your own benefit. That is a Tanakhama's opinion, that you can roll it up. We have an obligation to roll it every 12 months. Sumcha Somer, no. B'chodesh, if it's a brand new Sefer Torah, shloshim yom, you have to go and unroll it every 30 days, because the newest Sefer Torah, as Rashi brings down, require that in order to maintain them. As Rashi points out, Dibra Matzku b'chodesh shloshim yom, he says hachodesh b'mayel l'safesh ben yoshim. The new ones will become moldy; they'll become destroyed more quickly than the older ones. So Sumchas distinguishes between a new Sefer Torah and an old Sefer Torah. If it's b'chodesh shloshim yom, you have to unroll it once every 30 days. Yashan, if it's an older Sefer Torah, then shnemos achodesh, then it's perfectly fine to do the 12 months. So he disagrees with the Tanakhama in regards to a new Sefer Torah. Tanakhama says all Sefer Torah, new or old, you unroll them once every 12 months, and Sumcha says for the new ones, you need to do it every 30 days. So the old ones, yes, I agree with you, it's every 12 months. And finally, we have a third opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Echod Zeh Ve'Echod Zeh, Shnemos Achodesh. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, both of them, the new and the old, you do it every 12 months. And more we'll ask in a moment, of course, that's exactly what the Tanakhama says, and we're going to revise this to say, he says the new ones and the old ones, you have to do it every 30 days. So we'll have three opinions, every 12 months for new or old. Then we have the opinion of Sumchos for the new ones every 30 days, for the old ones 12 months. And then we have the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov, who we're going to change and say that he says for the new or the old, you have to unroll it every 30 days. Okay, now this Brisa we're going to dissect a little bit. Omer Mar, we go back to the beginning of the Brisa. Hashol Sefer Torah mechavero, hareza lo yeshilu liacher. If you borrow Sefer Torah, you can use it, but you're not allowed to lend it to somebody else. So the Gemara says, why are you telling me this din specifically for Sefer Torah? This is a din across the board. My ear, your Sefer Torah, afil kol mili nami. This applies to all items. If you borrow them, you're not allowed to go and lend them to somebody else. Now let her rent them to somebody else. As we learned, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rish Lakish taught us, Kan Shon Rebbe. Now, Rashi explains, in Dira Matzu, Kan Shon Rebbe, this is a Mishnah in Gittin, Meseches Gittin, on Daf Chav Tesamun Aleph. Tanan, we learned over there, HaSholeach get the Eretz Yisrael. If a person sends a get from one part of Eretz Yisrael to another part of Eretz Yisrael, HaRezeh Mishalcho B'yad Acher. The one who is the Sholeach is allowed to give it to somebody else to finish off his shlichos. However, if the person who gave him the get, the husband who's divorcing his wife, never gives the get to the person, and he also gives him something else, v'im amalo tol chefetz ploni heimena, go and take such an item from her, so then, lo yishalchenu b'yarachet, then you're not allowed to go and give the get to another person, because she'ein ritzono she'i pikdono, because the get part's not the problem, but when he's going to go and get the pikadon, maybe the husband, the owner of this pikadon, doesn't want anybody but you to go and have the pikadon in his possession. So that was the Mishnah in Gittin. V'omar Reish Lakish, on that, Allah, Reish Lakish said on that, I'm still reading in Rashi, Kan Shona Rebbe, this is where Rebbe learned, B'mishnah Zu, and now let's go back to the Gemara, Kan Shona Rebbe, Ein Hashol Rashoy Lahashil, Ein Hasokha Rashoy Lahaskir, that here Rebbe learned this then, that a person who borrows something is not allowed to go and lend it to somebody else. And he certainly wouldn't be allowed to go and rent it to somebody else. And even somebody who rents, somebody who rents something, is not allowed to go and rent it to somebody else. And at the end of that, Dibra Maskelin Rashi, he explains, because Ein Ritzono Sheh Pigdono Biyarache, because the person who lent it to you or rented to you gave it to you, but he's not interested in somebody else having it. So that's where Rebbe learned this din from. So why are you only telling me that you can't lend the Sefer Torah to somebody else? That's the rule across the board. So the Gemara says, no, you specifically have to learn in this price of Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, it's trichole. You have to teach us a din by Sefer Torah, because I might have thought, ma'u detema, nichole li'inish this aved mitzvah b'mamone, because we have a rule across the board that a person likes when his possessions are being used by somebody else to perform mitzvah. If you leave your tefillin or talis and shul in a place where somebody else can access it, so then the question is raised, is somebody else allowed to borrow it without your permission? So if it's an item that will not be destroyed by its usage, so you have an item there, you have a mirror to look at where your tefillin are placed properly, and if somebody uses that mirror, it's not going to destroy it or in any way ruin it, and as long as he puts it back exactly where he got it from, so then if a person leaves something in an open area, there is a presumption that he's happy that somebody else does a mitzvah with his property, with his item, and therefore the person has the right to go and do that mitzvah with it without letting the person know. He has the presumption that he has permission to do so, as long, again, I said, the basic rule is that it won't destroy it or ruin it. So one might have thought that with the Sefer Torah, here, nichol elyinish, a person is very, very happy that somebody's using his Sefer Torah, this avid mitzvah b'mone. However, kamash v'lo, no, that this is true even for a Sefer Torah that will potentially get ruined. The person doesn't want somebody else to use it. He wants the pikadon, he wants the Sefer Torah to be in the hands of the person that he gave it to. So he lent it to Yanko. Yanko is allowed to use it. He expects and knows Yanko that he'll use it properly. But when Yanko goes, gives it to Yitzchak, so who says that Yitzchak is going to take care of it properly? And the owner of the Sefer Torah may not want to have Yitzchak use it. And therefore, without permission, you can't give it to somebody else. And that's why he specifically has to tell us about a Sefer Torah, because one might have thought that with the Sefer Torah, the din would be different. Okay, then in continuing the Brice, it says, Poscho v'koribo. You borrowed it, you'll have to open it up and read it. Da, pshita, vela, lamai, shai, lamine. Of course, you borrowed it to go and read it. And as I pointed out, that seems to be obvious. So why is the Gemara telling us that? Why is the Brisa telling us that? So Gemara says, no, because the next statement, as I read it in the Brisa, where it says, that yes, you did borrow it, but it was only to go and chazer over stuff. Because if you spend be'iyun looking at something, you're going to spend a lot of time in that same place, and it may ruin it by being open too much, or exposing it too much, or you may come to destroy it in some way because you're me'ayin into it, so you're only allowed to chazer from it. Okay. Then the Brisa continued and said, "V'chein ha'mavkid sefer Torah etzel chaveiro golo kosh demos ha'chodesh and poschol v'koribo." So if you are borrowing this sefer Torah, you're allowed to use it and read from it, and you have to do so once every 12 months. So the Gemara says, "Maya vidite gabe." How do you have a right to go and do this? This is a pikadon. This is hamavkid. You didn't borrow this to use it. So why are you allowed to use it at all? "Maya vidite gabe." How does he have a right to go and do this? Furthermore, v'su in bishvilo pesachu aser. It tells us that if he's opening up for his own usage, so then it's usher. I'm his postal of a koribo. But you just said you are allowed to go and use it. So what's going on? You have a couple of questions here. It seems to be internally contradictory. So the Gemara says, no, this is what the Brice is telling us. Hochi kamar. Im kishu golulo. When you're rolling it, so then postal of a koribo. While you have the right to go and unroll it in order to air it out, so then while you're unrolling it, you're allowed to go look at it and read it. However, that in that situation is mutter. Im bishvilo pisacho. But if you open it up solely for your own usage, it's not because it needed to be aired out. So then also, then of course, it was a pikadon. You don't have a right to use it. This is not a case of borrowing. This is a case of a mafkid. It's a pikadon. And you only have it for safekeeping. So you only have to do for it whatever is needed for its safekeeping, including unrolling it once every 12 months. And then when you're unrolling it, you're allowed to read it. But to go and unroll it for your own benefit, to go and read it, that you're never allowed to do. And then we had brought down the opinion of Sumchus, right? The Tanakhama had said that you have to do this every 12 months. Sumchus Omer, Bechadosh, if it's a brand new Sefer Torah, Shloshim Yom, because it will get ruined faster, as Rashi pointed out. But if it's B'yosh, if it's an older Sefer Torah, it won't get ruined if you unroll it only once every 12 months. So therefore, in an older one, Sumchus says, Shnei Mosei Chodesh, unroll it only once every 12 months. And then we brought down the opinion of Reb Elezmon Yaakov, who said, Echazev, Echazev, Shnei Mosei Chodesh, which sounds exactly like the Tanakhama, that whether it's new or old, every 12 months. And the Gemara asked the obvious question, Reb Elezmon Yaakov, Haidu Tanakhama, Kama. It seems to be saying the same thing. So why is it attributed to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Say the Tana Kama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say this. So Ela Ema, the Gemara says no, because as I said, we have to correct this. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, not every 12 months, it's Shloshim Yom. Echozev, Echozev, Shloshim Yom. Whether it's new or old, he says you have to unroll it every 30 days in order to maintain it. Okay, so there are three opinions again. Every 12 months, for new or old. For the new, Simcha says, it's every 30 days. For the old, it's every 12 months. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, all of them, new or old, it's every 30 days. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Avolo yilmod bo batchila. You now go learn from the Sefer Torah, originally from a place that you don't know, and therefore you're going to learn bi'iyun. And likewise, v'lo yikra acher imo. And nobody else is allowed to learn with you because we're concerned that you rip it. Now, this says that one other person can't learn with you. Urminu, but the Braisa that we're going to bring down seems to contradict this. The Braisa says, lo yikra parasha v'yishna. You're not allowed to go and read something twice. So you're allowed to read it once, but then you're going to read it a second time. That was too much, and you're potentially going to ruin it. V'lo yikra bo parasha v'yitagim. And likewise, don't read a parasha from it, and then go and be mitargimit, to go and translate it into Aramaic. That's the targum. Because again, it's going to be open too long, and you're not allowed to go do this. Now, below yiftach bo yoser mi gimel daptin, when you open it up, don't open it up too much. Only open it three columns at a time. And in other words, that it shouldn't get, again, too much aired out, which would ruin it. And here's the part where there's a stira. Below yikru bo shlosha bnei yodam bikerech echad, and three people can't read from it together. Implication being, Hoshnayim Korin, two carried it together, and that's the stira to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, V'lo Yikra Acharimo, meaning two people can't read it, and the Braisa says, implication that two people can read it, it's only three that can't read it. So there's a stira from the Braisa to the Mishnah. So Omer Bayabai says, not a stira, lo kasha, because they're talking about two different situations. Kabin Yunechot, in our Mishnah, it says when two people are reading from the same subject, so then they're each going to pull it towards him. They're reading from Parshas Vayikra. So this one is pulling it towards him to read Vayikra, and this one is pulling it to him to read Vayikra, and it's going to rip. So with reading from the same inyan, from the same parasha, then you can't have two people reading it. However, if this guy's reading from Vayikra, and this guy's reading from Tzav, so Kan Bishnei Inyanim, so they're not going to pull it towards them. I have my stuff in front of me, you have your stuff in front of you, and therefore we can each read it at the same time. So the Bryce is talking about when you're reading it from two different areas, then two people read it. But three, that's already too much. There's too much chance that it's going to be pulling and ripping, and therefore, three people can never read it from the same sefer. Two could if they're reading from separate subjects, but if they're reading from the same subject, then even two can't do it. Only one person should be. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Mosuk sus minara echel shosh miyom. If you find the garment, so in order to prevent the moths from eating it, you have to go take it out and air it out every 30 days. Now, lememra, that implies the near malila, that airing it out, shaking it out is good for it. Minara means to air it out, to shake it out. So that implies that that type of treatment of this garment is good. But wait a second. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan taught us, Mishiyesh lo gardi umam besoch beso, yinar ksusu choyom. If you have a weaver in your house that can make you a new shirt every day, weave you a new shirt every day, then go shake your shirts out every day. Implication being, most people don't have a weaver in the house and aren't going to spend for a new shirt every day, that shaking it out this way is actually detrimental for the garment. So here in our Mishnah, we're saying that shaking it out is good for the garment. Once every 30 days, shake it out. And Rabbi Yochanan says, if you want to destroy a garment, go shake it out every day. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to be contradictory to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is a great, great Amora, but he wouldn't be arguing with our Mishnah. So what's going on? As an aside, note that this is a statement from Yochanan, because we're going to have a segue in a moment to some other statements that Rabbi Yochanan made. So therefore, to keep that in mind. In any event, there's a stir over here between Rav Yochanan says shaking it out is bad for it, and the Mishnah says seemingly shaking out is good for it, and the obvious answer is Amrei b'chol yom kashi lo echol shoshim yom mali lo. No, there's an obvious difference between shaking it out every day and shaking it out once every 30 days. Shaking it out once every 30 days, that's good for the garment to air it out, but to do it every day, you're going to end up ripping it, you're going to end up tearing it in some way if you shake it too much. Okay, that's the obvious answer. That's terutz number one. We can have three other terutz. Ibai Zema, lo kasha. There's no steer between our Mishnah. Shaking out once every 30 days is good. Rav Yochanan shaking out every day is bad. Because it depends. Ho b'chad, ho b'tray. Who's shaking it? If one person is shaking it, so chances are they're not going to be able to rip it. If two people shake it, so one's pulling it this way, one's pulling it that way, so they're potentially going to go and rip it. So therefore, don't go and shake it with two people. With one person, it's not going to cause any harm. Rashi brings down. Dibra Matzu Shnayim Ha'ochzim B'Shnei Roshah. If you have one person holding at this end, one person holding at that end, Umanarin, and they're shaking it out, so then Mimaskin also Yosemite, they're going to pull at it more than it's necessary, V'Kashla, and it's going to be bad for it, it's going to rip it. Okay. Then we have another Teretz. Yibayisema Lokasha Ha'biyada V'Ha'b'Chutra. It depends. How are you going and shaking it out? If you're shaking it out just with your hands, so then you're not going to rip it. But if you take some sort of a stick to it, a chutra, right? Like we have in the Haggadah, v'yosu chutra v'hika l'kalba. So if you take a stick and you go and beat the garment, so then there's more likely that it's going to tear. And therefore, that's the reason why Rav Yochanan said, don't do it with a stick. And the Mishnah says, do it with your hands, and therefore no stira. And the final teretz is, Yibay Sema Lokasha, Ho Bida Amra, Ho Bida Chisna. Depends on the material. Rashi explains in Dibra Masul Di Amra, Koshala, when it's made of wool, it's not good to shake it so much, Shinim Teches V'nikras, because you're going to pull at it and it's going to rip. But if it's made of flax, so then it's not going to rip so easily. So our Mishnah is talking about something that's made of flax, it's good to shake it out. And Rav Yochanan was talking about something made of wool, it's not good to shake it out. That's the way Rashi learns this. You see, there's an Oz Beis there pointing to the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, Hagos HaGra, and he says the exact opposite. He says that from the Rif and the Rambam, and Shar Pirushim, Pirush Lehefek, they say the other way around, that the wool is not going to be damaged by shaking it out, whereas the flax will be damaged by shaking it out. No, whichever way you want to learn it, one of them is detrimental to the garment, one of them is good for the garment, and therefore there's no steer between the Mishnah and Rav Yochanan. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yochanan." Another statement from Rav Yochanan: "Kaso d'charshin." Since we started talking a little bit about Rav Yochanan, so therefore he tells us a whole bunch of other dinim. As Rashi says in the next Dibra Masko, that since we mentioned over here, the Ayidid, the Ayri, B'mili, the Rav Yochanan, the Halachas Derech Eretz, Noka Hani Shmeisa. So therefore, once he started talking about this, so he tells us a number of other things about how to properly take care of things. So Rav Yochanan tells us, "Kaso d'charshin." It would be better for a person to go drink from a glass that had been prepared by mechashefos. Charshin, Rashi tells us, is noach lishtos kol shel mechashefos mikol shel mayim poshrin, rather than drinking the little kasa de poshrin. There was something somehow detrimental over here to drinking this lukewarm water. Again, not sure exactly why, but that is even more dangerous than a cup that was prepared by Mechashevos, which certainly would be dangerous if they prepared this cup. And we have many stories in the Gemara where they tried to hurt people by their kishuf, by their magic, which had certain types of kolchos in those days. That today, the magic that we have today is just sleight of hand. It's just being able to distract you and do something. It's not real magic. In those days, they had real powers. So the kasa de charshin, which was dangerous, but it's not as dangerous as drinking lukewarm water. Okay. I don't know why, but that's what Rav Yochanan tells us. The law of Marin, El B'chei Matkis. He said, this is true, that it's dangerous to drink lukewarm water, only if it was made from, it was in a utensil that was metal. However, Avu B'chei Charis, if it's in an earthenware utensil, less lumbar, then that's not dangerous. And even in a utensil made of metal, Avu B'chei Matkis, Nami, law of Marin, El Delo Tzvitz. It wasn't boiling. So if it was lukewarm water from the start, so then that's dangerous. But if it had been boiled, and then, now it cooled off, Avu B'chei Tzvitz, and now it's no longer boiling, so then these poshrim, less lumbar, aren't dangerous to drink from. And I'm guessing over here that maybe there were concerns in their lukewarm water that they would be very good for bacteria to grow in. So the bacteria would be very dangerous. A person could get very bad GI illness from drinking this lukewarm water. But if it had been brought to a boil, so then it killed the bacteria inside of it. Even though now it's lukewarm, it wouldn't be dangerous. I'm guessing maybe that's the reason. In any event, we also said the law of Moran, El Lo Shod Debate Sivaya. It's if you didn't add something to this, but once you add something to it, it's no longer dangerous. Sivaya, Rashi tells us, is called Dover Shinostal and Sochamashka. Things that you add to this lukewarm water. For example, various types of herbs, or asavim, or tavlin, or spices, or ikre besamim, or various types of the roots of various besamim. These are called sivaya. So if you don't have any tzivaya in it, then it's dangerous. Avo shodabay tzivaya. If you put in these various herbs or other spices inside of it, lesalba, then it also is not dangerous. Okay. Then Amar Yochanan, another statement from Yochanan, Mishaniach lo aviv maos harbe. If you inherited a large sum of money from your father, and v'rhotze li abdom, and you want to lose it, so yubash big de pishtan, v'yishtamesh b'chleiz chuchis, v'yishkar po'alim, v'yayeshi v'imon. So Yochanan is telling us exactly the opposite of what to do. If you want to lose all this money, again, the simple understanding would be most people don't want to lose all this money. And that's how Rashi understands this. If you want to lose this money, in other words, lamdenu ba shelo yargil odom mikach. Don't do these things because you want to maintain that inheritance. You don't want to have it go to all to waste. So he tells us various things that are dangerous to do in terms of you lose the money. You lose this inheritance if you do these things. What are these three things? So yilbash big de pishton, go wear linen clothing because it's very expensive and it's going to rip and it's going to run through your money. Beishtamish b'tleis kuchis, use glass utensils, they're going to break, so they're going to run through the money. Beiskar palim v'yeshiv mom, and hire workers, they don't watch them, so everybody knows that that's not going to be a good thing and you're going to end up having the workers destroyed and not do a good job. Okay, now let's look at this specifically. So the Gemara explains Rav Yochanan's statement. Yilbash klei pishton, what are we talking about? Bikisna rumisa. This is talking about a certain type of Roman flax, a Roman linen garment that, as Rashi says, demeyin yikarim, they're very expensive, umimar and lichalos, and they also get easily destroyed. So you buy very, very, very fancy but flimsy types of shirts that will easily get ripped or torn or destroyed just from usage. And therefore, you're constantly going to have to spend a lot of money to buy these fancy shirts. That's a great way to lose all your money. And therefore, don't do it the way Rashi understands it. In a moment, I'll tell you a beautiful Ben Yoyada over here to explain this in a totally different way. So that's the first one, Bekisda Rumisa. Then it says, Bishtamesh Bechleis Chuchis. If you want to, again, hold on to your money. Don't use this clay's chuches because these are obviously going to easily break. This is talking about a very expensive type of crystal, bezugisa chivrasa. This is a very type of like white glass, a crystal that's very, very expensive and it's going to easily break also. So therefore, don't spend your money on that. And finally, v'yizkor paul v'yayesh v'yimad, go and hire workers and don't watch them, so they're going to go and destroy. Tirguma, we explain this in the following way. We turn to Lamed Omud Aleph. Biture dinofish pseidayu. Rashi explains, Shirov avodas hakarko shalhen bishvarim haisa. They would mostly go and take care of the land. They would till the soil with oxen. So, avcharisha sakramim ubitsirasan manhigin klea machrisha ba'agola bein shuro sakarim. So, when they would go and plow the land in between their vineyards, so they have to be very careful not to destroy the vines. Because there would be grapes on the ground and there would be vines all over the place, so you had to watch very, very carefully. So these workers, they weren't careful, and they would go and destroy while they're plowing. They don't care about the grapes, they don't care about the vines, they don't care about any destruction that they're doing. So if you're not watching them carefully, so they're going to go and destroy a lot. The heim meskalkalin at the end of the Rashi, vashvarim nischavim v'nishbarim. So they're going to do all sorts of damage. Tosos has a slightly different way of looking at it. The top Tosos with Turei Dinofish Psadayu. So the Rabbeinu Chano Gores be'tavare, which means pirush poalim shemolichim hashvarim. This is talking about the people that lead the oxen that are plowing. They ain't mamikin hamachresha shlosha tvachim. They're not going to be careful about plowing deep enough to till the soil three tvachim. Then has there a niklat hater, and as a result, the seeds won't be deep enough, and they're not going to have a good crop. So therefore, again, it causes a loss. If you don't watch your workers, it causes a loss. So the simple way we've been understanding this right now is like Rashi did, which is, again, the Pashut Pshat over here, that Rav Yochanan is giving you advice. If you want to save your inheritance and not squander it, so then don't do these things that are very, very likely to cause you to squander your money by buying very fancy, fragile clothing or buying very, very fancy, but fragile crystal. You're going to constantly have to replace both of them. And not watching your workers. Go hire somebody to do work for you in the field and don't watch them, so you're going to end up having a destruction. And therefore, Rav Yochanan is giving you advice how not to get this money squandered. The Ben Yehuda says a very interesting idea. He says, no, Rav Yochanan is giving you advice if a person doesn't want his money to stay intact. Why would this be? So he brings down that there is a concept that if you have honestly earned money, that money will never be taken from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give that to you. But if you mix it with ill-gotten money, so then who says that your money will now be protected? And therefore, this person got a Yerusha. And this Yerusha was obtained in not so legal matters. It was obtained with ways that the Torah forbids you to go and get money. And now he's going to mix that ill-gotten Yerusha with his own hard-earned money. So that's going to be a disaster of his own hard-earned money. So the Ben Yehuda says, what Rav Yochanan is telling us is, get rid of that money real quick. Here's a good way to get rid of that money real quickly so it won't spoil and ruin your hard-earned, legal, honest money. That's the first way he looks at it. The second way is similar. And he says, if you have a Yerusha that you want to give over to not your children, But your children are going to be very, very upset if you give this money to tzedakah, if you give it to someone else. So you're stuck over here. You, unfortunately, afraid of your children. It's a terrible situation, but the person's afraid of his children. They're going to hurt him or harm him or do something to him if he doesn't give them the Yerusha. But he doesn't want to give them the Yerusha. They're bad children. And therefore, Rav Yochanan is giving you advice. If you want to go squander this money so there won't be a Yerusha for your children, so this is a great way to do so. Okay, very interesting way. The Ben Yodo, as is his wont, he always comes up with the most interesting ideas. Okay, now we continue, and we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Shodcho l'tzarecha, avolo l'chvodo v'chule. The Mishnah said, if you're taking care of the garment for the benefit of the garment, so then you can air it out and put it out. However, if you're doing it for your own benefit, to show people, oh, look, I have this fur coat, look how rich I am, when, of course, it's not true. So then you're doing it for your own cover, then you're not allowed to go and do it. The Gemara asked in the base matter, Yishibai Lu, they asked, L'tzarecho u'l'tzareka. My, what happens if it's dual purposes over here? You're spreading it out because the garment needs to be spread out, but you're also doing it in a way that everybody's going to see that you have this garment and they're going to think very highly of you. So is that allowed or not? You're actually doing it for the benefit of the garment, but you're also getting benefit from it. What's the din in that situation? So Tashma, bring your raya from the following Mishnah, our Mishnah. Shodcha l'tzarcha, our Mishnah said, you're allowed to go and spread it out for its benefit. Oh, that implies litzarcha for its benefit. Yeah, in. However, ha litzarcha u litzarcha lo. But if it's for anything other than purely its benefit, even though you're doing it for its benefit, but you're getting benefit, no. Our Mishnah seems to say, asked and answered, that you're only allowed to do it litzarcha, but not if it's also litzarcha for your benefit. Ah, where it says, that's not a good riot, because Amos said, keep on reading. Then it said, avolo l'chvodo. You're not allowed to go do it for your own honor. That implication is l'chvodo hu delo. You can't do it purely for your own honor. But if it's ho l'tzarka, u l'tzarka, if it's for both your honor and for the benefit of the garment, then shaper dami, you would be allowed to. So here the implication is the exact opposite. So the implication of the ratio is, you can't do it if it's for both. And the implication of the sefer is, you can do it if it's for both. So the word says, elamiha, leko l'mishma mino, that you see clearly from a Mishnah, the implications are contradictory, and you can't learn out one implication versus the other. Neither one can be learned out. Try again. Tashma, what's the din? Can you spread it out if you're getting a dual benefit? You're doing it for the item itself, but you're also getting benefit yourself. So the Braisa says, lo yish techena lo agabi mita. You're not allowed to go and spread this out over a bed. For lo agabi mogod. Mogod, Rashi tells us, is a foreign language word, which means a peg. And there it says, litzarko, if you're doing it for your benefit, then you're not allowed to do it. However, avyish techeno, agabi mito, agabi mogo, litzarko, but you're allowed to do it if you're doing it for the benefit of the garment. Now, here's where we have the raya. Nizdamnu lo orchim, if guests are coming, so then, lo yish techeno, lo agabi mito, lo agabi mogo. But if guests are coming over, then you're not allowed to spread it out, even in ways when you're doing it, litzarko, for the benefit of the garment. Bein litzarko, and certainly you're not allowed to do it if it's for your benefit solely, but even if it's for both benefits, for the garment and for yourself. These guests are going to see that you have this fancy item, they're going to think highly of you. Oh, so asked and answered. You're not allowed to do it if it's a dual benefit. So Gemara says, no, shiny hustle, that's different. The reason why you can't do it in front of guests isn't because it's also to do it litzarko and litzarka. No, it's because demikla kolila, because by your spreading it out in front of these guests, you're essentially destroying it. And that's why you can't do this. What do you mean you're essentially destroying it? Imishram eino, which means essentially this will be evil eye. Imishram eino bisha. They're going to be, whoa, he has this garment. Oh, that's not right. That's not fair. And it's going to cause jealousy amongst Kai Yisrael. And therefore, that's going to destroy the garment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take away that garment. So therefore, Imishum Ganvi, or because they're going to say, oh, that's an expensive garment, let's go and steal it when he's sleeping. So therefore, that's why you can't do it in front of guests. As Rashi says, Shalot Tishlutanu Bel Ayin Ra Shal Orchin. So there shouldn't be a jealousy that's created over here, or Penyigdana Orchin, or the guests are going to go and steal it. That's why you can't do it. But we can't bring a riot from here. What would be the halacha if you were just doing it for your benefit as well as the garment's benefit? You can't bring a riot that would not be allowed. So we bring a riot for the following price. So Toshma, Hichniso L'Rivka. If you went and put an animal, this is talking about a little calf that you're going to use for Eglo Arufa. There was a nace that was never found between two cities. They figured it was closer to this city, and they have to bring an Eglo Arufa when the Torah, as the Torah demands that you do so. But this has to be an animal that hasn't been worked. So if you go and put this Eglo that you're going to use as an Eglo Arufa into a team of animals, including its mother, that is plowing, and the reason why you're doing this is for the little calf to go and suckle from its mother that's plowing. So then the Darsha, even though this calf is now also helping out and plowing a little bit because it's next to the mother and it's tied up to the yoke of the harness over here, so it can stay with its mother, but it therefore is also a little bit involved in the plowing. So then that's allowed. That's not considered that this egla rufa has now been worked and is also to use as an egla rufa. But if your intention was, yeah, I wanted to suckle the mother, but it's also going to help me out with the plowing a little bit, then it's psula. Here you see the litzar ko ulitzar chahu. Here you see it's doing it for the purposes of the little calf. It needs to suckle for the mother, but you're also doing it to plow. So that's litzar ko. The ketani psula, and the brisa says you're not allowed to. So asked and answered. This question by Egla Rufa says litzar ko ulitzar ko is not allowed. So too by the garment. If you're doing it litzar ko ulitzar ko, so then you're not allowed to do this. The dual benefit's not allowed. And that's, we bring a riot from this brisa. Mark says, no, Egla Rufus is a separate din, shiny hasam, because the pasuk says, the omakra, asher lo ubad ba. It says that it's not allowed to be worked, which implies, mikol makom, from any type of work, it's not allowed. Even work that was done incidentally. Mark says, if that's true, ihachi, afil reisha nami. So in the reisha, even though it wasn't his intention that he should plow, but it's also plowing. So why in the reisha is it different? So Mark says, no. It's a special drush over here. Holodamya el lohoditnan, in regards to, this is comparable that which we learned in regards to a paraduma, that also isn't allowed to have any work done with it. And there it says, shachan olel of, if a bird were to sit on the paraduma, shera, that's not called that the paraduma did work. However, olo leo zocha, if a animal mated with this female paraduma, so then, psula, then the paraduma is no good. And the reason is because the person who owns the paraduma is happy in the sense that it will have children. And therefore, this is considered something of benefit to the owner. And therefore, it's parceling the paraduma because it can't have any work done with it. And therefore, the same thing over here in regards to the egla rufa. Since you're happy that the work is done, so therefore, it is psula. But if you're not interested at all in the work being done, you don't care that the bird is sitting on the cow, you don't care that the animal, while it's nursing the mother, is plowing, so then it is permissible. And that's why you can't learn a raya out to the garment, because it's not a case of tsar ko and tsar cha. Now the Gemara explains this a little bit more in detail, what I just said outside. My time, well, what's the rationale behind the paraduma being acceptable if a bird sits on it, but not acceptable if the animal mates with it? So, Kidir Rapapa, this is as Rapapa explained. What did Rapapa say? Dama Rapapa. Iksiv ubat. If the pasuk had said the word ubat spelled with a vav, then ukarinan ubab, and it was pronounced ubad, so then, hava amina afilu mimela, then, no matter what, if any work was done on it, even if it wasn't with the intention or the benefit of the owner, such as a bird sitting on it, then that would have been included in possibly it. However, v'kasiv avad, but if it had been pronounced and spelled avad, ukarinan avad, ayin beis dalit, so then, hava amina ad avad bo'iyu, I would have said he has to have put it there himself and wanted it to be there. Now, it's a ksiv ukri. Hashto dichsiv ovad. It is spelled ayin beis dalid, but we pronounce it ukrinan ubad, as if there was a vav over there. So therefore, bo'inan ubad dumyo di ovad. We therefore have the best of both worlds. So it has to be ma ovad, like the word, if it had been spelled ayin beis dalid, and pronounced ovad, denichole, it would be work that was pleasing to him. He was happy that the animal had been mated with. He doesn't care if the animal had a bird sitting on its back. So therefore, af ubad, when it's spelled ayin beis dalet, but pronounced ubad, as if there was a vav there, it has to be denichole. This comes to teach us that it's only the type of work that he's happy about that passes the animal, both by paraduma and by egla rufa. Therefore, that explains why in the situation where he's just wanting the animal to suckle and is not interested at all in the disha, that the animal is going to help him to be pulled, so therefore, it's not something that's nichale. As to over here, with the paraduma, it's not nichale that the bird is sitting on its back, so therefore, in those situations, it doesn't passel. Now, The Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah. It says, Klei Kesef and Klei Nechoshes. If you find utensils that are made out of silver or made out of copper, so they're going to be ruined if they stay in the ground all the time. So Mishtamish b'hem. So you have to use them every now and then, because that will prevent them from getting destroyed. But you can't overuse them if you're using them purely for your benefit. So then you're going to be shochek them. You're going to wear them out, and that's no good. The Brice expands and says, Tana Rabbanan, Hamotzei Klei Eitz. If you find wooden utensils, so Mishtamish b'hem, you're allowed to use them b'shul shlo yukavu, in that they shouldn't go and rot. If they're not used, they're going to rot. Klei nechoshes, copy utensils. Also, mishtamish b'hem b'chamim, you're allowed to use them with hot water, hot dishes, because that won't destroy them. Avolo ayidei or, but you can't actually put them on the fire itself. That will ruin it. Mipneishim mashrikon, that will ruin it. That will wear it out. Klei chesef, silver utensils. Mishtamish b'hem b'tzonin, you can use them in cold dishes, for cold water or cold dishes, because that won't ruin it. Avolo b'chamim, but if you use it in hot dishes, if you use it with hot water or cook with it, so then it will ruin it. It will make it black. It will ruin the silver. If you have magrefos, which are basically various types of shovels, these aren't shovels that you dig with, but these were used to either for dried fruit, Rashi says, or they were used to go and shovel out the coals, or kardumos, these are various types of axes. So mishtamish behen birach, you can only use them on soft items, avolo b'kosher, but not on hard items, because they will break. B'meishem avchison, they will become broken. Rashi says mavchison means over here that they will become pogum, they'll become damaged. Now, klei zav, klei zchuchis, the golden utensils or the glass utensils, don't even touch them. Lo yigabahem, put them away, bury them in the ground, ashivo elio until elio comes, because these will not get ruined by being in the ground, or there's too risky with the glass crystal utensils that if you take them out, they're going to break. So therefore, just leave them in the ground until elio comes and tells you who the owner is. Now, the Braisa finishes and says, Kiderech she'amru b'aveida, kach amru b'pikadon. The same laws apply with an aveda that you find, and a pikadon that's given with you, the same laws apply how to take care of them. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, pikadon, my avidito gabe. What's the pikadon doing in your hands? You were given it to watch. Why doesn't the owner come and do all of these things rather than you do it? So the Gemara answers the obvious teretz. Amar Avad Rechama, Amar Rishayshes. Avad Rechama said, "Amar Rishayshes, because the owner is not here. He's talking about with the owner gave it to you to watch because he's going away on a business trip. He's off somewhere overseas. He's on a business trip, and therefore he's asking you to take care of it. And therefore, if you accept it to be the shomer on this pikadum, these are the things that you have to do." Now, we said in the Mishnah, Motzer Sako Kupa, if a person finds something that's not Choshev, he finds this sack, some sort of a sack, or some sort of a Kupa, which is an unimportant type of a box, or the whole Dover Shein Darku Litol, or anything that it's not normal for him to go pick up. It's below his cover, it's below his dignity for him to go pick it up. Harez Elo Yitol. Then he doesn't have to go and pick it up. Now, Minanimili, how do we know this? So the Pasuk says, the Braisa brings down the Tanur Rabbanan Visalamta. The Pasuk tells us, Lo sire eshar ochicha. Don't look away when you see your friend's shar, O seo nidochim, that they are lost. They're the shar or the seh is lost. And it says, Visalamta mehem, and you'll turn away from it. Now, we'll darshan this word, Visalamta mehem, means that sometimes you can turn away from it, even though the intent of the pasuk is don't turn away from it, but since it uses the lashon Visalamta mehem, so then there are times, Pa'amim sha'ato misalem, Pa'amim sha'ato misalem. Sometimes you're not allowed to turn away. That's under normal situations. You have to go and return them as a lost item. However, there are other times when you're allowed to turn away. Pa'amim sha'ato misalem, Pa'amim sha'ato misalem. Okay, so under what conditions is this? So the Gemara says, it depends. Hoya Kohen. If you're a Kohen and the item is in the Beis HaKvaros, or Oshay Yazakin, you're an older person, and it'll be called, it's below your dignity to go pick it up as an older person. Oshay Samulach, Shal Merubi, Shal Chaveru. Or you'd go and say this item was worth $10, but meanwhile, you're not getting to work and you're missing out on $100 worth of work. So in all of these situations, you're allowed to turn away. Lekach, Nama, that's why the pasuk says, Visalam to Mehem, in these situations, you're allowed to go turn away. Now the Gemara asks, why did I need a pasuk for two of these three, essentially? Only one is really the pasuk he's asking for. So Lamai Yitzruch Kwa, why do we need the pasuk? Because if you're telling me I need it for the Kohen, in the Beis HaKvaros scenario, Ilam LeKohen, a Kohen, and the item that's lost for him, the Beis HaKvaros, so of course he can't go the Pshita. There's an Issur Daraisa on him going to be Metame. A Kohen is not allowed to be Metame. And even you want to tell me, an Aseh is Doche Los Aseh, so the Aseh of going and returning the item should be Doche the Los Aseh of not becoming Tame. That's not true over here, because this is an Aseh to return the lost item. However, by Los Aseh the Aseh, there's two over here that Rashi brings down the last Rashi, l'nefesh lo yitamah, that's the lowest asay, but there's also an asay of kedoshim yiyu. So therefore, an asay, v'losi asay, of returning the lost item, cannot come, v'dachay, as lowest asay v'asay, can't come and knock aside this asay and lowest asay. So therefore, I don't need a pasuk to tell me the Kohen can't go into the basic forest to get the lost item. And furthermore, v'so, lo dechina nisura mikamei mamona. I wouldn't even be able to do this because one is dealing about monetary things, the lost item. The other one's an issur. You can't go and push aside an issur to save money for somebody. So therefore, for these two reasons, it can't be teaching me the puzzle with the Kohen finding an object in the basic course. He doesn't have to go get it. Oh, so maybe, Elo, maybe it's about l'shalom miruba mishal chaveru, that your time is worth much more than the lost item. So I wouldn't need a puzzle with that as well, because with Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav Nafka. Because Rabbi Yehuda said in the line of Rav, we learn out that the puzzle tells us, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav, Efes kiyeh b'chayev yon. So the pasuk tells us, and we turn to Lamed Amud Beis, that tells us that you're not supposed to be poor. A person is not supposed to be a poor person. Shalcha kodem l'shal kol adam. And therefore, your financial success is going to trump his financial success. So you should lose $100, so he should save $10. So therefore, you don't have to go do it. So I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that. So what's the pasuk for v'salamta? Ella, to teach us the case. L'zoki ben ulfi kvaldo. That's to teach us that if it's below your dignity to go and get it. So therefore, in that situation, you don't have to go and get it. The Gemara continues and tells us more about this. Then Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Chikisha, but once if the zokin started to give it a zetz, to start to have it to return to the original owner, so then he has to finish Chayba. And Amaisa Shahaya, where this happened. Abai Habi Yosef commanded the Rabba. One time Abai was sitting in front of his Rebbe Rabba, and they were learning, and Chazulahanach Izi the Kaimu. And Abai saw that there were some goats over here that had been lost, and he Shakal Kolo, he took a piece of dirt, Vishadabu, and he threw it at the animals to make them go back to where they had come from, towards their owner. And once he did this, Amalei, Rabbah told him, now, Ichayviz Behu, Komadrinu. Now, Yumuchuiv, you started to return it, so you have to finish it, so get up from the shear and go and return the lost item. So, Maisa Shoya, that proved that even though he was busy, it was below his dignity to go and return those goats, but once he had started to, so he had to go and finish it. The answer to the base manager is the following, Shali Boluhu. Darko Lahachzir Basoda, if it would not be below his dignity to go and pick this item up and return it if it was out in the field, because a lot of people wouldn't see him over there. However, they darku lachzavir, if he's in the middle of the city, in the middle of 42nd Street, and all of a sudden the whole world's going to see him bending down and picking up this object. So, mahu, what's the halacha? In the field, he would do it, but in the city, he wouldn't do it. So what's the halacha? So Gemara says, mi amrinon hashava ma'al yobu'in, and do we need to say that it's, you have to do hashava ma'al yobu'in? In other words, you have to go and return it no matter what. But since sometimes he wouldn't return it, therefore he wouldn't be obligated to go return it, even when he's not in the city, even if he's in the field. Or do we say, no, Dilma, in the city you don't have to return it, but in the field you do have to return it. And therefore, in that situation, paradoxically, since you have to do it in the field, so then you also have to do it in the city. So we don't give an answer to this, take it. We leave this also until Elio comes and tells us what the answer is. Tishbi Yatar, it's Kushav Yabayas. Mark continues and says, I'm a Rava. Rava says, Kol Bishop Lo Machzir. If it was your item, you would pick it up and bring it back to yourself. So then, Mishal Chaveru, not Machzir. Then you have to go do this for your friend as well. And likewise, if it was your car that got a flat tire and you had to go and take the stuff out of the car and go put it in, if your donkey needed to be loaded and not loaded, you would go do it yourself. You would go and load or unload your own animal. So then if you see your friend in such a situation, then you have to help your friend that as well. In other words, if it's not below your dignity to do it for yourself, then you have to go and do it for your friend in these situations of Hashavas Aveda or in terms of Prika Vatina, helping to load or unload your friend's donkey. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi have a cause of Baruch. One time, Isa Shoya, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi was going on the road, and Paul Gabay, how Gav, a certain man met up with him, and have a Dori Pascha de Ufe. And this man was carrying Pascha de Ufe, Rashi tells us, is a bundle of wood. Masui Shel Eitzim. A bundle of wood. Now, Ozvinu v'komismach. He put it down on the ground to go and rest. Now, Amalei, when the man was ready to get going again, he told Rabbi Shmuel, "No, Rabbi Yossi, Dolly Lee, help me put the wood back up on my back so I can go carry it." So Amalei, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, it wasn't worth his dignity to do this. It was below his dignity to do this. Nevertheless, he went lifting Mishur Sadin, and he said, "Kamashavin, how much is this wood worth?" So Amalei, so he told him, "It's worth Pal Gud Azuz. It's worth half of Azuz, a small amount of money." So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said, "It's below my dignity to go do this, but I don't want this guy to lose out. I'll pay him for the wood." So he went lived in Meshur Sadin, and Yovle Palga the Zuza the Afkra. So he now owns the wood and he made it Hafkra. Oh, this guy says, hey, Hadar Zachamu, he sees it's Hafkra, he goes and acquires it again and tells him, load it up on me. So again, what does Rishon Rabbi Yossi do? How the Yov lay Palka the Zuz of Yafkra. He did it again. He gave him another half of his Zuz and he made it Hefker. Now he saw he was going to do the same thing again. Chazit Avakoboy Limihadu Limiskebo. He says, this guy is going to go and acquire it again and ask me to go and load it up for him. So he told him, Amalei, he said, listen, Lukuliyama Avkarinu, I made it Hefker for everybody else in the world. However, for Loch, but to you, Lavkarinu, for you, it still belongs to me and therefore don't ask me to load it up on you again. Now, does this work? Well, me having hefker ki I gabda, does making it hefker in such a way actually work? It doesn't. After all, but now we learned in the Mishnah in Peah, where it's machlokes beisil beishamai, beishamai omrim hefker laniim hefker. If you make something hefker only for aniim, it actually works. Or beisil omrim, no, it doesn't work. Ain't no hefker. Actually, hefker laniim lashiru kim shmita. It has to be hefker for everybody, just like shmita is hefker for everybody. So too, the hefker, making something hefker, has to be hefker for everybody. So we pass it like Basil, and therefore, how can Rishmo Rav Yossi tell him that it's hefker for the whole world, but not for you? So Gemara answers, no. El Rishmo Rav Yossi, he was saying, Lukuliyama Afkarinu, that was only Ubimilso Biyamahu Dukme. He was not tricking the guy. After all, he did the guy a favor. Twice he bought it from him. But he was basically trying to get the guy not to go pick it up again. So he told him, I'm making hefker for everybody, but it's not hefker for you. Now, technically, it doesn't work, and it's hefker for everybody. But the guy didn't know this, so therefore the guy walked away and didn't pick up the wood again. So why did Rav Shmuel Bar Yossi have to do this and pay for the wood twice? After all, he's a zokein, he was a great Talmud Chacham, and it was below its dignity to go and help load the wood. He wouldn't have done it for himself, so he doesn't have to do it for this person. So again, Rav Shmuel Bar Yossi lifted Mishur Sadin Hudiyavai. He wanted to do above and beyond the law. Because the Tanya Rav Yossi, is Rav Yossi that taught us, when the Pasuk tells us, Vodatim lohem, the whole Pasuk is, Vizartu esem esachukim v'esatorim, Vodatu lohem esaderech yelchu ba, v'esamasa sheyasun. So we darshan each part over here. So Vodatim lohem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe told the Jewish people from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this teaches us you have to make a parnasa. As a derech, that refers to zug milas chasadim. You have to emulate a kodesh baruch hu zug milas chasadim. When it says asher yelchu, it really says yelchu at this point. Doesn't say the word asher. Zebikucholim. That's a reference to bikucholim. When it says ba, that's a reference zug kvura. All of these things are things that you're supposed to do and emulate a kodesh baruch hu. And when it concludes v'esamase, that refers to zehadin asher yasun. That refers to zu lifnei mishur sadin, that you have to do above and beyond the letter of the law. Now we go back and discuss this a little bit more detail. On Mamar, when the Pasuk says, now it doesn't say Asher Yelchu, it just says Yelchu, so that refers to Zeh Bikur Cholim. More question says, Hainu Gmil Chasadim, that's already included Gmil Chasadim. So when it says, Lo Nitzucha Ela Ben Gilo, this is talking about a person who's born on the same Mazel as him, which the Gemara in the Dorm tells us, the Omamar, Ben Gilo, no Telecha Mishisha Mechoyo, Vafilu Hochi, Miboy Leila Meza Legabe. Even though you're putting yourself at risk, that you're literally giving 1/60th of your life, in this situation, you're taking away 1/60 of his illness, so theoretically it goes on you. Nevertheless, you have to go and do this in order to help the person out. Now, again, this is an esoteric subject. You don't really lose 1/60th of your health when you go to visit somebody, so this is a discussion for another time. Mormon and Darwin will discuss it in more detail, but it means that you have to go do this. That's why it has to tell us the additional yelchut the teachers can tell us on them. When it tells us ba, that means zukavuras, where it says also, haynu gmilas chasadim, why do we need a separate drasha to tell us you have to go do this? So Gemara says, this is telling us for even an elderly person who normally wouldn't go and do this, even for his own self. So you have to do this for burial for another person. Here, there is no kvodo that you can say it doesn't apply. And it says, Asher Yasun Zulif Nimishur Sadin. You have to do above and beyond the letter of the law. And we see this, the Omer of Yochanan, Lohar Yushalayim, El Al Shadonu Ba Din Torah. Yushalayim was Nechra because they were very strict in their adjudication of the law and not trying to go Lifnei Mishur Sadin. More says, Nu, Ella Dine Demigizsa Lidaino. So what should they have done? Should they have followed this incorrect type of law? Rashi explains that the word Demigizsa means Gazoy Hadonim Biyisurim Ubechazaka, people that inappropriately rule. So they're supposed to inappropriately rule? So no, Rabbi Yochanan was telling us, Ella Ema, Shehamidu Dineim Al Din Torah. They were very strict in following the literal language of the law, and they never went above and beyond the law to go make things in a more fairer way. Sometimes the law can be very cut and dried, but it happens to turn out that it causes harm to people. So therefore, you should have gone lift him, Mishur Sadin. They didn't, and this caused Nebuch the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, amongst many other reasons. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here. We now have caught up at least one full daf for Pesach. Have a great day.